You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcast, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for August 14th, 2020. It's not safe for work.
Coming to you live from the Cornfield Resistance, where Go Postal Unions has been the watchword for this podcast since the very beginning, it's The Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
Hello, Drift Glass.
Happy anniversary, Blue Gal.
Oh,
he remembered. Yeah.
He did. He remembered. Yeah. 9 years, we will have been married next Wednesday.
That's true.
That's so nice.
I have scrawled all over many calendars, and so, you know.
We have so much to be grateful for.
We do. We very much do.
It wasn't because of our anniversary, but we did dance in the kitchen this week.
We did. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Well, there was some news, you know, I'm not sure everyone knows this. It's been kept a pretty tight secret by the Biden administration, but they leaked it early to us.
No, they didn't.
We have a vice presidential candidate.
We have a vice presidential candidate that we like.
We like her. We're happy that she's a candidate.
I called it. I mean, I think I'm allowed to crow a little bit.
Yeah.
I said that it was going to be her.
Yes. Moments before it was announced, you said.
No, I said it weeks before it was announced.
You did. And it's a very logical and sort of, no matter how you approach it, it makes the most sense of pretty much everyone, which is not to take anything away from anybody.
I think we were so beaten down by bad news that the fact that he would choose anyone else was always a possibility, and we were prepared to be disappointed.
What's the worst possible news? Okay.
Yeah, he's abandoning the Barack Obama coalition again.
Wait a minute.
He's John Kasich? Steny Hoyer. Yeah. John Kasich and Steny Hoyer.
Joe Lieberman is like, out there going, you know, I could still do it, man. I think Chris Dodd is, you know, Lieberman's still good. Lieberman's still got some fastball left in him. He can do this. And every one of us is like, please don't fuck this up. Now, according to the dirtbag left and Fox News, of course, this was a fuck up because Kamala Harris is a secret underground Antifa cell leader and an overzealous prosecutor.
At the same time,
which is hilarious, that the horseshoe theory of politics that eventually Glenn Greenwald and Tucker Carlson will shake hands behind. Oh, they are actually on the same show. It's manifestly true that these two extremely dangerous, dumb, destructive forces have decided that Donald Trump is their future.
Well, and it's amazing to me that this is all they've got.
Well, yeah.
And it is the same. They are replaying the Barack Obama playbook.
Well, because she's black.
Which worked out so well for them in two elections.
Right. Because she's black. And so.
Well, she's black. That's all they've got is he's got to be both a weak and ineffectual leader.
Right.
And
history's greatest villain.
The person who's history's greatest villain is going to come take away your guns by force.
Sure. And right? Now that they have no guns, because 8 years of Obama means they have no guns left.
They have no guns, right?
I'm thinking, I like our odds at this point, because they're completely disarmed, and most of them have been rendered gay by Barack Obama's secret make your kid gay, Ray. So, you know, which means they're on our side, more or less, unless they're log cabin Republicans, in which case they don't really know what they want. But it seems pretty straightforward. I mean, now they have basically a four-page playbook, and one of those pages is, in case of black person. And so...
And it's great, but
it's all the same. It's a woman, and this is literally minutes after the announcement was made that Trump's campaign and the RNC all came after Harris as the nastiest, meanest, most horrible, most liberally liberal, leftist, liberal, commie nominee ever. And we're all just sitting back going, really?
I can live with all of that.
This is what you got.
You deserve all the nastiness that she has waiting for you at the ballot box.
This is not intended for consumption outside of the bell jar, what I have referred to many, many years ago as the bell jar containing Rush Limbaugh's beer farts, where they all right. live and they all just breathe in this psychotic poison for decade after decade. And so the brain is all rotten and their hearts are all little lumps of coal. And this is for them. This gets them charged up. And you could see it if you just went to local social media. Once again, I highly recommend if you are a coastal podcast, either conservative or liberal, and mm-hmm. the behavior of Republican voters is somehow a shock or a mystery to you.
Yeah.
Please contact us immediately.
Look at South Central Illinois Facebook. Yes.
Come to – we will walk you through. We will be your Selena
Happy
Zico.
To be your ambassador.
Yeah. We will tell you what they're thinking because they live right next door to us.
And they're perfectly willing to blab it all yeah. over the pages of our local newspaper as yeah. well.
Yeah. So the minute it comes out of the RNC, nasty, nasty. By the way, she's not really an African-American. And she's a cop and she's bad. That whole, you know – train of turds showed up on local social media. Yeah. You know, this it literally comes out of their mouth and shows up on locally. This is how they function. They function as a single psychotic racist organism. And if you break from them and look at it from the outside, you're shocked that, you know, you never noticed this before, which again is why people who are surprised the Republican Party is full of Republicans at this point in our history shouldn't be really near a microphone. They mm-hmm. should be off in the woods somewhere contemplating their souls, figuring out how the fuck did I get this so wrong when this was my one job, and leave the accurate analysis of what the Republican Party is, what they really think, not what they talk about when they're on the McNeil-Lehrer Report back in the day, or when they're on the PBS NewsHour these days, or when they're on Meet the Press, but what the real Republican Party is actually like. Leave that to us, because so far we're batting like 1,000. So, mm-hmm. you know, which I know counts against you when you're a liberal. But it was delightful to see Joe Biden make the completely logical choice of Senator Harris. And it was completely predictable that the Republican Party would react exactly the way it did. So here we are. And we had
someone, a listener, write us, and I really appreciated the feedback. Mm-hmm. How important it is not to venture over into dehumanizing the enemy.
Right.
And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I sent him a copy of a letter to the editor that was published August 8th mm-hmm. of this year.
Yes.
And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll read this little bit of it. Mm-hmm. If Joe Biden does win the election, I think he will be just a puppet. Somebody else will be pulling the strings. Then when the Democrats decide they have achieved the maximum benefit from having him at the top of the ticket, they will dump him. Mm-hmm. And whoever the vice president is, Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren or whoever, will take over. Shortly thereafter, we will be headed down the road to socialism. You won't like it. The only ones who will like it are the ones who will be bringing it to you, the Democrat Party.
Well, see,
now, all of this is pure Rush Limbaugh, Jeanine Pirro.
It's all true.
That's
It's all true, but
it's all true. Yeah. We're headed down the road to socialism.
Yeah. We might fully fund Social Security and Medicare.
Wow. And you know what she is a recipient of. You know, sure. This is the thing. Right.
Sure. She's some retired state worker who's living on her pension and Medicare and
state pension
and Social Security.
And, yep,
yeah.
Yep.
That's his. But that it is. I will not in my heart of hearts stop thinking of Republican voters who remain Republican voters in this day and age as reprogrammable meatbags, because that's mm-hmm. what they are. That's they have made themselves into that. This is an accomplishment for them. They yeah. did this to themselves. But I will say, just trying to think of this as a writer, as a character in a story, you're trying to sort of get into their head and figure out what motivates them. And it is difficult, but not impossible for me to imagine the enormous amount of effort it takes to keep yourself this stupid all the time.
Well, and I'm sure that she carefully edited this letter and removed the references to AOC and Soros because she didn't want to appear extreme.
I don't want to appear extreme. It's all true, but I don't want to. That then they might not publish my letter, and then I would change the world.
They might not publish my letter if I say Soros. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
But it is a simple fact that if a third of this country, a third of the active voters in this country, still think Donald Trump is doing a great job. And that his floor really hasn't changed that much. His ceiling has, but his floor really hasn't changed that much. And these are the same people who believe that Barack Obama was a Kenyan. And they're the same people who supported George Bush for 8 years. And on and on and on.
And so birtherism is back, baby.
There is nothing about them that I would consider civilized or decent. They are something else. And they have worked every fucking day for decades to keep themselves this angry and this stupid and this hateful because there's nothing else for them. There's no other identity for them out there. They cannot imagine, because you pull the pin on this grenade and everything falls apart. Because
And I want anyone who wants to debate politics with me to bring a copy of the 2020 Republican National Convention platform
wherever
to the table. There isn't one.
Well, there's a copy and paste of the last one, which includes, let us not forget, getting rid of the current occupant of the White House.
Right.
That's just basic. And that's the thing. If you start to unravel, and this is a protective mechanism under all the lies somewhere. There's some little protective reptilian protective mechanism that says if we start acknowledging that any one of these people might be even a little bit right, we have to start acknowledging that everyone we trust is a liar, everything we believe is bullshit, and everything liberals have said about us for years is true. And there's no way these people can live with that fact. There's just not. There's no place for them to go, which is why everyone who predicts a Republican renaissance or turning the corner, or we're going to have this moment of awakening, no matter how.
New tone. Don't forget Donald Trump's new tone.
Right. all of that's bullshit because there is just to skip ahead a little bit. This was the week when Charlie Sykes, who I monitor as one monitors enemy broadcasts from a foreign country, on the bulwark, tiptoed right up to the line and suggested that just maybe Republicans have a, quote, voter problem. Now, give them credit for that. So let's do the math, shall we? I'm at a whiteboard here. Now, here is the Republican Party. Now, let's subtract from the Republican Party the leader of that party, who's clearly a white nationalist, racist asshole. And let's subtract from that all the elected officials and representatives who are quislings or lunatics who support Donald Trump and who clearly are either traitors or cowards, but you don't want them anywhere in your public service. And let's subtract from them all the Republican voters. What do you have left exactly? There is
Charlie Sykes.
Yeah, Charlie Sykes going, God,
and
I never knew.
And the people in the studio with him at the bulwark.
Yeah, Charlie Sykes, who spent 30 years in right-wing talk radio saying, you know, maybe the Republican voter is really the problem. You think the people who put a roof over your head, Charlie, who bought you a summer home, who were telling you through your earpiece that they really were this bad for years, but the money was good and nobody was getting hurt but liberals, right? Nobody's getting the shit kicked out of them but the lefties, so it was all okay. And now that it turned out that, oh my God, it's the party leadership, the head of the party, and the voters, there's nobody left in the Republican Party to be a Republican in Charlie Sykes' imagining, other than a handful of never-Trumpers on a lifeboat who all swear they had no fucking idea any of this was happening. And that's the unforgivable part. I can board Stuart Stevens onto my lifeboat. Because Stuart Stevens says, yeah, it was all a lie. It was all bullshit. I should have known better. I didn't. It was staring me in the face. I made money doing it. I was good at it. And, Walter White says at the very end of Breaking Bad, when his wife thinks he's making one more excuse for his criminal fucking behavior.
Right.
And if you say one more time you did this for the family, I will fucking scream. He says, no.
And he said, no, I did it for me and I was good at it.
It made me feel alive. Yeah. That's why everyone on the Never Trumpers was a member of the monster machine for all those years because they liked it, because they were good at it. It made them feel good. Kicking the shit out of people like me made them feel great. And they got paid for it. So mm-hmm. the idea that now, long after it's too late to undo the damage they did, they're all going to sit around going, but we didn't know. We did. Well, yeah. Who did know that? Who knew? Well, we knew. We live out here in the middle of the real world. We're the ones who knew. So why not listen to us when we tell you what's coming next and what your party is about to indulge in, starting with the destruction of the post office?
Well, and or I would say ending with the destruction of the post office, because those folks that you're talking about mm-hmm. worked very hard and successfully to elect people who defunded every infrastructure week that we've ever pretended to have.
That's true. Absolutely true.
And so, and defunded welfare reform and defunded all of the programs that might have helped people. And they did it for tax cuts for billionaires. Mm-hmm. And we, the reason that they are still Chardonnay sipping Republicans who want to create a Lincoln voter.
Yes. Are you a Lincoln voter?
To keep their tax cuts. It's yeah. to keep their tax cuts. It's to make sure that their Wall Street investments don't get taxed. Mm-hmm. And so that they can have their third and fourth home and not pay taxes on it. And it's really that simple. speaking of the post office, that's another thing that, you know, this particular podcast can crow a little bit about.
Yes, we can.
We have said go postal unions for years.
Almost since the beginning. Almost since the first
podcast. Since the beginning, we have said, you know, the post office is democracy.
Yes, it is civilization.
Post office is an essential mm-hmm. quality of our civilization.
It is.
And we understood, and many other liberals understood too, that the post office was being denigrated by the right wing, who wanted to privatize it and trash it mm-hmm. and set separate rules to defund it by caveat. Mm-hmm. And we didn't like that, and we still don't like it.
Well, back
so now that it's out in the open as an effort to keep the fascist in office, mm-hmm. There are many people sounding an alarm.
Well, back in the olden days, you probably remember this, Blue Gal. I struck up a telephone friendship with the late Harlan Ellison.
Yes, you did.
I was his Chicago guy, and he'd call about once a week. And pick my brains and tell me what I was wrong about. And he was a very generous critic of my work. I sent him a story at his request. He dressed it up a little bit, sent it along to an editor who rejected it with a very nice letter. And it was a lovely late in his life and middle of my life gift to me that yeah. I could talk to
and
this
he was
author.
A hoot. Let's face it. He was a hoot.
He was a hoot and a smart man and a son of a bitch a lot of the time.
And didn't he publish his home phone number on a chat room?
and I was the one who jumped his. I talked to his wife, who just passed away, I believe, last week. Oh. Susan, I blew and said, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And I got a thank you note from her, and
she said, "Harlan, what did you do?"
Harlan does not understand the internets and never did. But one of the things he told me repeatedly during our conversation, he was looking for the source material because. I just imagine his house is like the Library of Alexandria. He's going through the scrolls looking for the original material.
Piles and piles of paper.
He said, I'm telling you, this book I read, I can't remember the author. It was years and years ago. But the next thing they're going to come after is the post office. Because the post office is this, and I'm not quoting him now, but in spirit I am, is this egalitarian miracle. Mm-hmm. It knits mm-hmm. the country together. It's knit the country together since before it was a fucking country. It is an amazing thing. For pennies, you can send a letter from one end of the continent to the other and guarantee delivery. And it's a thing. It's just a thing that is the woof and warp of this country. And Republicans fucking hate it because it's a public service. It works really well. It doesn't cost a lot, and everyone benefits from it. And it really insults everything they have to say about government being bad and bloated and wrong and stupid, and everything should be privatized and the marketplace should decide. So they're going to come for the post office. Mark my words, they're coming for the post office next. Mm-hmm. And they are. And they've been coming in slow motion for a long time. Mm-hmm. But now we have to dynamite the road to the polling place to mm-hmm. stop people from – that is what they're doing. They're destroying the route to the polling place for Americans to vote. And they're doing it right out in the open. Donald Trump is saying, "Yeah, I'm screwing the post office over because if that's what let Democrats have universal vote by mail. We don't want that. And all the local fucking mouth breathing Republican business owning morons are like, yep, vote by mail is evil. It's always a corrupt. And again, taken as an organism, you cannot reason with any of these people, which is why.
Well, and Donnie and Melania requested their mail in ballots this morning.
Yeah. And there's no, whatever part of the brain is that recognizes conflicting information is just burned out in the Republican skull. There's just nothing there. If Donnie and Marie do it, it's okay. And if Democrats do it, it's wrong. And vice versa when the parties switch. And they just are incapable of recognizing there's no object permanence left in the Republican brain, which is why we take for our scripture today.
Yes. Speaking of people who were right, and this is, I said to you as we were preparing for this show, yes, I can crow about the post office and go postal unions, and I can crow a little bit about Kamala Harris. Uh-huh. But the person that is most right all of the time is the late, great Steve Gilliard.
Yes. So on the subject of presidential debates and generally arguing with these mouth-breathing reprogrammable meatbags. This is Stephen Gilliard from 15 years ago. And I don't know what his voice sounds like, weirdly enough. So just accept the fact that I'm doing an audiobook of Steve's work right now. There's a tendency for liberals to try and be fair, to consider other points of view. So we get baited by conservatives in debates on terms that they set. I'm going to act on the following. I don't care what conservatives think. The National Review Online Corner thinks I'm a racist. I don't care. Their opinions on race are meaningless. Instacracker doesn't like what I say. That's the purpose of the exercise. I want conservatives to read this site and come away steaming. I don't want them to think they will like a word I will say here. I don't want them to think I will consider their opinions or viewpoints. I want them to think, boy, he doesn't like conservatives and really, really doesn't care what we say. I'm tired of people acting like these people can be reasoned with or talk to. They don't want to talk. They want to drive us away into a corner and ridicule our ideas. I'm not writing to make conservatives happy. I want them to hate my opinions. I'm not interested in debating them. I want to stop them.
Right.
End of quote.
And I had a back and forth with someone on Twitter today who was upset with Mika Brzezinski for leading her monologue today with Trump is a disgrace and a liar and a bad person, etc. And he was saying, if you really want to debate conservative, you don't want to start off talking about how they're a liar. And it's like, did you just wake up this morning and you don't know anything about Mika Brzezinski's grooming of Donald Trump to be president of the United States?
Literally. Grooming, literally smoothing his hair so he would look better on camera.
Yep. And explaining to him what was coming up next in their questioning. I mean, just absolutely, it's a show until he won and then was nasty to her and her husband. But he wanted me, Blue Gal, to be more like Martin Luther King. And what is happening in the Republican Party right now makes me feel like I'm supposed to be civil in my debate with James Earl Ray. Who shot Martin Luther King. Because that's the Republican Party I see on social media.
Well, this infests, I mean, our local paper, to take one example. When I was, I used to sit and chat with the editorial board.
Yes, you did.
For a year. And I would ask difficult questions.
Citizens Input Commission or whatever it was,
And I would ask difficult questions like, why do you reprint Ann Coulter?
Why do you have Ann Coulter in your
paper? Why is Ann Coulter in this paper? And I'd get this sort of like hemming and hawing because the person I asked knew better.
They looked at their laps and went,
It's balance and fairness. You know, it's fairness and balance.
We have to make Joyce, who wrote the Biden letter, happy.
Well, yeah. and that's the thing. In the space of a very short period of time, the same paper that reprinted Ann Coulter and Mark Thiessen and a bunch of other people who should never be allowed anywhere near a public opinion platform, and then lectured us on the importance of balance, wrote an editor's op-ed column, a publisher's op-ed column on the importance of civility.
Right.
And how we should all be more civil with each other. And I'm like, okay, so you reprint Ann Coulter and then you lecture us on how to be civil because you don't like liberals punching back. That's what you're saying. You don't like mm-hmm. when liberals call you yep. out on the horrible shit you do. That's when the tone police come in and tell you to stop doing that. Shortly thereafter, they sponsored an outdoor product event, and their keynote speaker and there was noted outdoorsman Ted Nugent.
And he's just an outdoorsman, just by an outdoorsman. The way.
And yeah. the five liberals I know are like, you mean Ted Nugent who called for killing Barack Obama and, mm-hmm. and you know, mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton can suck on my AK. That Ted Nugent, that's the guy that you are proudly promoting as one of America's foremost outdoorsmen. The same paper that just lectured me on civility that, oh, I get it. You're a Republican asshole. That's right. Oh, I get mm-hmm. it. You don't want a debate. You want
your taxes to stay low yeah. at the expense of everything.
You want yep. your shitty opinion to be the default setting. And when someone comes along and points out that you are a Republican hack who is using a newspaper to shit all over the values you say you value, that's when you get all very tone police. You go, wait a minute, let's all be civil here. Fuck civility. I'm yeah. not, I'm done being, I was done being civil with these people in 1994. So I'm not, there's no coming back from you.
If the Republican Party gets the drubbing that their internal polling says they're going to get,
right.
you watch in January, it's going to be, well, we need civility, we need centrism, and we need 50% of the decision making. Well, you really have to share the platform with us because this is America and we all have to share. No, we don't.
So you
Barack, excuse me, I'm sorry. Joe Biden proved with his selection of Kamala Harris that he is willing to make Democrats alone happy.
Yes.
With his decision-making process. And Republicans can go fuck themselves. And well, that really, that's what happened this week.
Yes.
That is the signal that he sent.
And you have jumped ahead to Mr. David Brooks of the New York Times. No.
Well, okay, before we get to that, you have something in our notes about the post office, and I don't want to lose this thread.
Yeah.
There are so many ways to fix this that today the Postal Service warned 46 states their voters could be disenfranchised by delayed mail-in ballots. And I yeah. agree with those people who say states attorneys general need to sue over this.
Oh, yeah.
Within the state government. Forget the Department of Justice. Bill Barr is not going to help you.
No.
This has to be a statewide. We will fix this. And there are so many ways to fix this, calling Tom Steyer and Jeff Bezos and Mike Bloomberg and J.B. Pritzker and Howard Schultz.
Yeah, there are lots of liberal billionaires who, if it's a matter of $3.5 billion, mm-hmm. you know, I talked about this, you know, among ourselves earlier this week. J.P. Morgan bailed out the banking system in 1907. Right. J.P. Morgan was an asshole. He was an absolute cast iron running dog,
slave labor,
capitalist
asshole.
Scum. Right. But he did, in fact, stop or at least slow down the 1907 panic and got a bunch of other rich people to step in and stop the banks from collapsing.
I think it was 1873, but whichever panic it was. Yes, he's the one that bought mm-hmm. gold bonds
yeah.
and fixed it so that the presidency, the whole country's financial situation wouldn't go down the toilet.
So these guys can buy $4 billion in stamps.
Okay, you know? But Dirkus, I have another interesting idea. You mentioned five white guys.
Yeah.
There is now a group called More Than a Vote. It is a voting rights organization launched by LeBron James.
I've heard of this.
And yes, other black athletes like Patrick Mahomes and mm-hmm. Sloane Stephens are involved, and they have established a, as Axios calls it, a bipartisan arena voting advisory group. Uh-huh. The goal is to connect sports teams with local elections officials and convert arenas into voting sites.
Into mega sites, right.
Right. Yeah. Leveraging their size, good for social distancing, mm-hmm. and location, easy to access, find on a map, providing free parking, and making it easy to get to the ballot box.
This is great.
The Atlanta Hawks, the Detroit Pistons, Milwaukee Bucks, Sacramento Kings, and Charlotte Hornets are among the NBA teams that have already established such partnerships. Mm-hmm. And in a memo obtained by Axios, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, who is, again, not my friend.
No.
encouraged teams to consider allowing their stadiums or indoor practice facilities to be used as election centers
yes.
on election day.
Mm-hmm.
So that is another set of multimillionaires.
Yes.
Who can make a difference and make it easier for people to vote.
I believe Lyft and Uber have announced they're going to offer free rides on election day to the polls. I know in parts of Colorado, they have drive up voting where you can drive up to a window and drop off your ballot because you've done you've gotten your mail-in ballot, but you want to make sure it's counted, and you want to make sure it's counted that day. You don't want these people to be able to say on election night, well, Donald Trump is ahead, so he's probably going to win, so let's just stop counting right now.
Stop counting, right, and get your Brooks Brothers riot started to stop the count, right.
In 12 states, so that you can just say, well, it was close, but you know, Democrats rigged it. There are drive-up polling places where you can do your mail-in ballot, you can have it in your envelope, but you drive up and hand it to a person who checks to make sure your registration is cool, and then off you go, and they count it that day, just like a regular ballot. The point being, there are lots of ways to fix this problem, but they have to be done. People have to do them. You have to have PPE equipment if you're going to have election judges. You're going to have space. You're going to have money. There are people out there who can provide all of these things, and a whole bunch of them were just running for president.
Right.
And they were running for president as because they were afraid of the future, for the future of their country, and they swore they'd use their deep pockets to get rid of Donald Trump. Well, you know the best way to get rid of Donald Trump
Mike
is
Bloomberg.
To
hello.
Yeah,
yes.
Spend your money to bail the post office out. Right. It's sofa change to you guys, and make it a loan. Make it a forgivable private loan if you have to, but get these people out of the goddamn way or we're screwed.
All right. Do you want to talk about QAnon or do you want to talk about David Brooks?
Well, QAnon is short, which is the idea that there's a QAnon candidate who won
a primary.
Won a primary. And this is one step up from our Illinois Nazis, really. They're trying to outdo us. And that Donald Trump praised her and Kevin McCarthy praised her and she'll be welcomed into the Republican fold. And this
she's
sort of
a 9/11 truther also, by the way.
She's the total package, Blue Gal. The total package.
Kamala Harris, eat your heart out. We got the total package on the right, too.
And
both sides.
Yeah. And she is a typical Republican voter. She is the manifestation of the Republican Party in the flesh. And there's this sort of generalized shudder that, well, surely we're not going to go this far down. Well, why wouldn't they? When was the last time the Republican Party was taken out into behind the woodshed and just shellacked for being a bunch of fucking traitors and lunatics and conspiracy mongers? The answer
1964.
Is 64. The answer is never, and not in my adult lifetime has this ever happened.
Right.
The people who swore that Vince Foster was murdered by Hillary Clinton, all got positions in the next administration. People who backed the Iraq war and called liberals traitors all work at national newspapers now. There's no fucking downside until this is a problem of markets. Until there is a financial, professional, and personal price to be paid for being a Republican of any kind in this country, this is going to go right on happening. And Chuck Todd will sit there and wince and blink and stutter and have the mortal remains of George Wallace reanimated in zombie form and ask him, so what do you think of the election? I hate black people. Oh, well, that's all the time we have. That's that's your future. It doesn't matter what sort of shiftless, mindless meatheads Republicans shovel to the front of the line. The press is going to treat them as one half of our glorious political democracy. And until they are, until the media is punished for doing this, they're going to keep doing it like any other bad habit until the hangover and the throwing up is so bad that you can't function anymore. You're not going to stop indulging yourself in a behavior that in this case pays very well. And there's no reason to stop. And my example of that today in a mild sort of toned down whispery version is David Brooks. Because today David Brooks forgot the Civil War happened again. He does this a lot. And you'd think an editor, any minimally qualified editor would tap him on the shoulder and say, you know, Mr. Brooks, the Civil War actually happened. The people actually died. But he really does sum up all of the bad things that the Republican Party does to get itself off the hook for the last series of bad things they did. He indulged, as I wrote today on my blog, his three favorite fetishes in the New York Times. Fetish number one imagining an imaginary third way between the extremes on both sides. Quoting Mr. Brooks, mostly I find myself supporting the conservative radicals, leaders who are confident that we can push for big change while defeating the illiberalism of radicals on the left and the right, Blue Gal. The left.
Didn't he write the same column in 2008?
He's written the same column every 3 weeks for the last 17 years. Uh-huh. And he's never been right. Number uh-huh. two, David Brooks forgets the Civil War ever happened. In the middle of the 19th century, radicals like John Brown and purists like Horace Greeley gave way to the incrementalism of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, Lord.
Antietam is an incrementalist thing.
Yeah.
Gettysburg is incrementalism. And I've looked and he's done this over and over again. Mm-hmm. Lincoln had to slowly build the whole nation around the abolition of slavery. He had to compromise and gather a broad coalition to pass the 13th Amendment. That is true. To mm-hmm. get to a place where he could make those compromises and get a consensus in the Congress, he had to kill hundreds of thousands of Confederate traitors, burn their cities to the ground, smash their navy, destroy their crops, find a general who would kill them and destroy them and raise their cities until they said, we can't fight anymore. We're destroyed. He had to beat them into the ground. And it is fucking creepy that Republican after Republican, this is something that Michael Gerson has done. This is something that Joe Scarborough has done. This is something David Brooks has done like 3 or 4 times. They remember Lincoln as this sort of compromisey centrist yeah. uniter. Like, you really, really believe that? I mean, David Brooks doesn't have a degree in journalism. He has a degree in history. And the fact that he doesn't want to acknowledge the Civil War happened, Abraham Lincoln prosecuted a gigantic war on this continent against traitors in the South, killed lots of them until they stopped fighting, and then got his way and then was assassinated by one of them. That whole thing is like really antithetical to David Brooks's masturbatory fantasy of what compromise is like. So he just pretends it never happened. And the last is, of course, what happens if Trump is defeated? Mm-hmm. Revolutionary mm-hmm. zealotry will fade as debates over practical change and legislation dominate. No, it won't. Apparently, again, David Brooks slept through the entire W administration. Slept through the entire Obama administration.
Yeah.
Republicans got the shit kicked out of him in 2006 and 2008, enough where any healthy party would have awakened to the fact that they are going down the wrong road in history and straightened out. They didn't. They all slunk away as David Brooks was watching, called themselves Tea Partiers, regrouped and came back, obstructed everything. Their revolutionary zealotry went thermonuclear, David. It didn't mm-hmm. go away because the scary black man was the president who was going to come take their guns away. And they regrouped, and in 8 years, they elected Donald Trump. So, no, the Republican Party has to be destroyed down
Donald
to
Trump, the king of the birthers.
King of the birthers. And so David Brooks is wrong on every single count. And by the way, something you should know, over the past 20 years, pretty much every Republican catastrophe and every time the right has sort of lurched even further into crazy town, that has been preceded by David Brooks predicting that a glorious conservative renaissance is just right. around the corner.
Right.
And why Dean Baquet keeps this guy on staff, I have no idea. But one day I'm going to find Dean Baquet in a bar or an alley. I'm going to buy him many drinks and he's going to say, here's the thing, man. Brooks knows shit about a lot of people that would embarrass mm-hmm. me or whatever it is. But there is some other reason other than because I've never seen anyone this fucking inept at their job kept in a peak position in public for this long. But this is how Republicans operate. They just lie. This is the good Republicans. These are the nice ones. These are our allies. These are the never Trumpers who will still just fucking lie to your face about what happened, how it happened, what the future is going to look like, and who's to blame. Every fucking time, because they can't help themselves, because the alternative for David Brooks is exactly the same as an alternative for the average Republican voter. You'd have to admit you've been wrong about everything your whole life, that you're a fuck up and you've done a lot of damage and you don't want to take any responsibility for it. And that his 401k would not tolerate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Right. Right.
Onward.
We're going to just spend a minute, folks, on Chuck Todd, because Chuck Todd is having a really hard week.
Leave Chuck Todd alone, man. Leave Chuck Todd alone.
wrap yourself in a blanket and start crying. Leave Chuck Todd alone.
You don't deserve Chuck Todd. You don't deserve him. He's such a good man. No, he's not. No, he's really not. Yeah, this was another week when yet another Republican thug, this time Peter Navarro, used him as a tackling dummy. It was on the Sunday. It was on Meet the Press, the sort of premier number one America political blah, 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 which has just been trash for years, but they still call it that. And there was a joke going around that Chuck Todd had no idea why he was demoted, because after NBC executives said they were kicking him to the curb, he never bothered to ask any follow-up questions.
I think it was TV's Frank who asked that on Twitter.
TV's Frank is awesome, by the way. Yep.
Yes.
And you want to talk about modern martyrs.
I do want to talk about modern martyrs for a minute, because today is a day when the Episcopal Church and the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church remember two modern martyrs in their remembrances for morning prayer. And it really moved me to hear about these folks this morning. And it also is a lesson for all of us that, you know, we're not all called upon to die for the cause, literally die for the cause, but we are called upon to be brave. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of courage is going to be required of all of us for the next rest of our life.
The next rest of our life. Yeah, rest exactly right.
Because this battle is long. Mm-hmm. And Black Lives Matter is a lifetime commitment. Mm-hmm. They're remembering today two modern martyrs. And I hadn't thought about them this way, but indeed they are. Maximilian Kolbe was a Polish priest who was arrested February 1941 by the German Gestapo. He was transferred to Auschwitz in May of 41. And in July of 41, there was a prisoner escape at the camp. And the Gestapo decided to select 10 men at random to put them in a sealed bunker and starve them to death as a way of preventing further escapes. Mm-hmm. One man that was selected cried out that he had a wife and a family and, you know, could he please not be selected? And Sebastian Kolbe came forward as a priest and said, take me instead.
Maximilian Kolbe. Yeah.
Maximilian Kolbe came forward and said, Father Kolbe came forward and said, take me instead. Mm-hmm. And Kolbe died at the hands of the Germans.
On this day. Mm-hmm.
In July of 41. He is remembered on this day. Mm-hmm. It's a church thing. And that man and his wife and his children, the man that he saved, attended his martyrdom ceremony that Pope John Paul II had. Of course, Pope John Paul II did elevate many Polish priests during his time, of course.
He was canonized, right? Yeah.
He was canonized, exactly. So, mm-hmm. And there was this man and his wife and children from the camp were there to celebrate Maximilian Kolbe's courage and sacrifice. And then closer to home and closer to our own time, Jonathan Daniels, an Episcopal seminarian, in 1965 was with a group of civil rights workers who were arrested in Fort Deposit, Alabama, and released several days later on August 20th. He was murdered by Tom Coleman. One record said that this person was a sheriff's deputy, but that doesn't go far enough. He was a construction worker who was given a gun by the white sheriff to keep black people down. And that rings true today when you think about what's happening in Portland and other parts of the country where Donald Trump's thugs are threatening average people who are simply protesting injustice. This deputized construction worker, some members of the group of civil rights workers who had just been released from jail, attempted to enter a store to buy sodas. They were a mixed race group. Jonathan saw that Coleman had leveled his gun at a 17-year-old African-American girl, and he pushed her out of the way and caught the full blast of the shotgun and died. He was 26 years old. Tom Coleman, the deputy, was acquitted by an all-white jury and died in 1997 at the age of 86. We have more work to do, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And we can honor and remember those who gave their lives. Martin Luther King mentioned Jonathan Daniels as being one of the bravest people in the movement. And yeah, we remember him. Mm-hmm. And with his sacrifice. And I wanted to share that with all of you, because I consider everybody who's listening to my voice right now family. Mm-hmm. And if you were sitting around the dinner table with me, we'd be talking about Jonathan Daniels and Maximilian Kolbe tonight. Mm-hmm. And then
we'd have pie.
And then we'd have vegan sweet potato pie.
Yeah. Which middle child made yesterday.
Middle child made, right.
And gave you a spoonful and said, this is for work. You can't have any.
You can't have it. I'm taking this to the grocery store where I work. Right. All right. Let's do our news roundup.
All right. On Tuesday, Marion County Sheriff Billy Woods ordered that his deputies will be banned from wearing masks at work in most circumstances. The order extends to visitors to the sheriff's office. This comes as Marion County records a record number of COVID deaths daily.
Meanwhile, in Arizona, the GOP sheriff who vowed not to enforce Arizona's coronavirus restrictions has tested positive. The numbers don't justify the actions anymore, the defiant Republican sheriff told the Arizona Republic at the time, vowing not to arrest people or shut down businesses that violated the order. 300 deaths is not a significant enough number to continue to ruin the economy.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday, less than 2 months after publicly challenging the state's efforts to slow the spread of a virus that has now spiked in Arizona, Lamb announced he had tested positive for the coronavirus before a scheduled meeting with President Trump.
If your local law enforcement officers are announced publicly they have no intention of enforcing the law, then they're no longer law enforcement officers. They're just thugs with guns and should be treated that way. The United States reported nearly 1,500 deaths from the coronavirus in a single day on Wednesday. This is the highest day since mid-May. Even as Donald Trump urged Americans to, quote, open up our schools and open up our businesses.
Do you want to mention the local angle on that story?
Oh, sure. I have it down in the local news, but I'd be delighted to.
Yeah, sure. Let's mention it now since it's on topic.
The local PetSmart employee who was fired for wearing a Black Lives Matter mask has gotten PetSmart into a lot of trouble.
Yes, they have. They
apparently the policy wasn't clear. So management said, sure, you can. And then said, oh, wait a minute. No, you can't. And then wait a minute. We're going to suspend you. And then, oh, we're going to fire you. And now they're in a heap of trouble, as well they should be. You know, unless you're providing dress code approved wear apparel for everyone on your staff. If you're requiring someone to wear a mask, which I think they should, I can wear whatever the fuck it was. There's no swear words on it. There's no cursing.
Right.
There's no harm at all.
Both of our teenage girls work in various restaurant, like I said, grocery store facilities, and they are provided with very plain masks with nothing on them.
Yes.
For work. And so, that's what they're required to wear, but their employer provides that.
And so instead of wearing a mask, middle child wears jeans that say "Eat the Rich" stenciled.
That I embroidered for her.
You embroidered. Yeah. So, you know, you find a way.
Mm-hmm. It's very subtle. It's on the back pocket. It just says "Eat the Rich" in little mm-hmm. pink embroidery. It's mm-hmm. not. It's not on her face, right? the local angle I wanted to discuss as well is that our school board
has
reversed themselves.
Yes.
And we are not going to have hybrid schooling starting August 31st. We're going to have online only schooling going till at least late October.
Yeah, there was an emergency meeting in which a couple of school board members reversed themselves because they took a lot of incoming fire from a lot of people who don't want to sacrifice their children to the gods of Republican. You got to open everything up now. And weren't going to do it. And a whole bunch of health experts who said, this is insane. And the practical effect, and this is on local radio, this was, you know, very big deal here because it was, look, you know someone's going to get it. you know,
right. And you know, the first week someone's going to test positive and you're going to have to shut all this down.
And so why don't you just sort of bite the bullet and acknowledge that this is going to be shut down until it's either New Zealand level, down to nothing, or there's a vaccine. There's just, right. you can't quit pretending that maybe somehow it'll all work itself out, because that's not how things work. So, and the school board reluctantly voted and reversed itself. So now we have, kids are going to be home for another couple of months.
Right. The number of U.S. residents who have died since March is now more than 200,000 higher than it would be in a normal year. This suggests that the official death counts may be substantially underestimating the overall effects of the coronavirus, particularly those among seniors who are dying alone in their homes.
Yeah. And the fact that the CDC is no longer tracking numbers. It goes hand in glove with the federal government. The Trump administration is doing everything it can do to lie to you about the threat that's right in your own backyard, because they don't care if you die. They want to be reelected and they want their tax cuts. And they don't give a shit about anything beyond that.
Judges. Don't forget their judges.
Got to have those 12-year-old judges who are going to be judges for the next 70 years. And what happens is you actually have people inside the administration who know what they're talking about, talking at cross purposes to the people at the podium who are telling you something exact opposite. So the director of the CDC warned that the United States could have the worst fall from a public health perspective we've ever had if Americans don't follow CDC coronavirus guidelines. Dr. Robert Redfield urged Americans to do four simple things to avoid exacerbating the crisis: wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, and be smart about crowds. He added, "I'm not asking some Americans to do it. We all got to do it."
Trump will deliver his Republican National Convention speech from the White House lawn. I guess he decided that Gettysburg wasn't a good place.
Yeah.
We have heard better suggestions from our listeners. Appomattox Courthouse, the Edmund Pettus Bridge, barricades on both sides and flanked by police dogs, blocking the doorway to the admissions office of the University of Alabama. So many good alternatives.
Yeah. And this week we saw the rebirth of birtherism, rebirth of a nation. This week, Trump perpetuated a racist and patently false conspiracy that Kamala Harris is somehow not eligible for the vice presidency or the presidency because her parents were immigrants.
And let's not forget that that was also perpetuated by Newsweek magazine.
Fucking Newsweek. I'm canceling my subscription, Blue Gal. I'm canceling my subscription.
You don't have a subscription.
No, I don't have a subscription. Okay.
Yelling the quiet part at the top of your lungs, Trump vowed to block funding for the U.S. Postal Service so Democrats can't have universal mail-in voting during the coronavirus pandemic. He didn't need to worry, though, because the U.S. Senate, led by Mitch McConnell, has gone home until September 9th.
Right. They're not going to do a fucking thing. People who did stick around to do their job, Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats, 174 House Democrats and Speaker Pelosi demanded that the U.S. Postal Service reverse operational changes made by Postmaster General Louis DeJoy. DeJoy, a major Trump campaign contributor, has ordered the post office no longer treat all elections as election mail as first class. He has eliminated overtime pay for hundreds of thousands of postal workers and required that mail is kept until the next day if distribution centers are running late. He has removed or reassigned nearly two dozen postal leaders. He's implemented a hiring freeze and requested, quote, early retirement authority for non-union employees. In some locations, mail sorting machines, I believe over 600 of them, are being taken apart and moved. In other locations, those public blue mailboxes you see everywhere are being trucked off, removed and trucked off to God knows where. They're doing it. They're destroying the post office to win an election. And I can't think of anything more nakedly traitorous than that.
DeJoy holds a multi-million-dollar stake in his former company, XPO Logistics, a United States Postal Service contractor, which makes his appointment a huge conflict of interest. The man belongs in jail for interfering with the mail.
A federal judge in Pennsylvania ordered the Trump campaign and the GOP to produce evidence, facts, that vote-by-mail fraud in the state exists by Friday.
And he's a Trump appointee, by the way.
Yeah.
The Trump administration proposed changing the definition of American-made showerheads to allow more water flow, following complaints from Trump about his hair routine and the need to keep his hair perfect. Yeah. Let's talk about his looks and weight and makeup for the next 80 days.
Let's do that.
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is a goose. Our listener Doug sent in Otto. Otto isn't a pet, of course. But Otto and his wife spent last winter at our listener Doug's old mill pond.
Aww.
And Doug hopes that Otto and Mrs. Otto will return this winter. Apparently, they are recognizable. Geeserelief.com, which is a real website, reports that geese eat roots, shoots, stems, seeds, leaves of grass and grain, bulbs, berries, and insects. And of course, Otto eats freshly poured goose food, our fake sponsor.
I didn't see that coming.
Because whether Mother Nature serves gourmet perfection or last winter's dreck, the goose in your pond will always consider it freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Otto, who is eating in this picture, of course, at our Facebook page or website. And you can send your internet kitty or other pet or wild animal to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write to us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions. Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Hashtag save the post office. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job and a labor of love. And we love you. Everybody, if you're listening to us, we love you very much.
Except for that one guy.
Well, that the person that you call that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
We love him a lot.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. There's a guy who runs us.
We're brothers by widely disparate mothers.
And you both have a wife that you don't deserve.
Oh yeah, no, married well above our station. Well above our station. Yeah.
Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution. You can, too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media, and thank you so much for doing that. We do love hearing from you on Twitter and Facebook as well. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Guy, the Internet Kitties want to repeat what you've heard for years on this podcast. Go Postal Unions and vote like your country depends on it, because it does. Your cats are counting on you.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-doving. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2019-2020, DGBG Productions.